Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and ghosts to help you live a more positively minded life. Yes, ghosts. Ghosts, you know, ghosts. Everybody has a ghost in their life somewhere, but some people live with ghosts every day. A ghost is something from the past that's gone, but it's not really gone, because it lives with you. It could be your old house. You had a wonderful house once, you sold your house, now you're living in an apartment, and you keep feeling terrible about your old house. You wish you had your old house. You wish you had it back. There are things called ghost children. A ghost child is a child that isn't born, you know, that was meant to be born, and then either through one thing or another, the child is not born. And people in psychology, we talk about ghost children and how it affects the later children. Because the children, let's say he's the first child, but he's really the second child, because the first child born, the ghost child, affects the first child. He knows he had an older brother or older sister who wasn't born. Sometimes that happens with twins. You know, one is born and the other is not. Ghost child, the missing child. But ghosts are something that we keep alive in different kinds of ways. You know, sometimes a ghost could live in reverie. You think about a person you just can't stop thinking about. You think about somebody from the past. Somebody who has been, you know, an active part of your life, and you just can't get them out of your mind. You just can't. You wish you could. But they're there all the time. Sometimes you wish you could. Sometimes they could be there as a reverie. Sometimes they could be there as a regret. Something you wish you never did. Sometimes they could be there as a remorse if they died. You know, you could grieve forever. Sometimes you keep a ghost alive through anger. And you find, for example, you had a mate and you found your mate was cheating on you and you get angry at your mate and you kicked out your mate. And that's it. And every time you think about them, you think about them with anger. But you see, the anger towards the mate, this fixation towards the past relationship, is a way of maintaining their ghost-like stature in your life. Yes, ghosts. Ooh, ghosts. We keep ghosts alive in our life. Today we're going to talk about your ghosts. There are animal ghosts. You know, there's that puppy you had, that cat you had. You see, there's a reason why we keep these in our lives, and it usually isn't the missing object. Like, let's say, for example, you had a dog in your life when you were a child, and you just can't stop thinking about that dog. And it just so happens that the dog was the only person you could trust as a kid. And you loved the dog, and the dog died. And you keep thinking about the dog. What you're thinking about is a feeling of safety that you had as a child that you had at no other time. We're going to talk about this today. We're going to get to the bottom of the ghosts that we keep around. We're going to have to make a decision. Maybe we want to get rid of the ghosts. Maybe we don't. Think about the ghosts in your life. When you get older and your mate dies, sometimes you still carry them around with you, you know, as if you're still married. You know, you talk about things like my Sydney. Oh, my Sydney used to like to go to the movies. And you walk around, and with all your friends, you're always referring to your mate as if your mate's alive. Sometimes people build shrines to their mates. You know, they have, oh, I keep Sidney's hat over there in the closet, and I keep his shoes right under them in the closet, and I keep his old sports jacket because he loved it so much. And you keep the ghost alive. Another form of ghost is comparing people in the present to people in the past. You know, you get a current mate, and you have this old mate, this mate you had years ago who used to set you on fire. There was nothing like this one mate. You were beside yourself. They were so passionate, so big, so gigantic in your lives. And then you get a current mate. And your current mate, you look at them and you make you feel a little flat. And you compare them, you say, and that very comparison is the existence of a ghost. Keeping that other person in mind. It doesn't just have to be people. I knew a man who loved his old Mustang convertible in 1966. And every car he ever gets, he talks about it. He said, this is only a car, but my Mustang convertible. What he doesn't talk about is how he felt in the Mustang convertible. The car is a reference point to a feeling he had. And what he remembers is how he felt in that old Mustang, but what he thinks is it's about the Mustang. But that's the way we are with people and objects. We bring them up like they're totems, like they're a symbol. You see? Can you be your own ghost? There's a real question for you. You remember yourself as a young man or as a young woman. And you remember yourself in the past, and you remember the way you were, carefree, nimble, and free, and your bones were loose, and you were able to move everywhere, and you were just, you remember that part of yourself, and you remember yourself in the 60s and the 70s and the wild, wonderful time you had when you felt unrestricted, and you just partied all the time, and you remember that. That's living with your own ghost. And you think of yourself, you compare yourself, and so you put on a pair of slacks and they're a little too tight, and you feel bad about yourself because you've got the ghost of the past present. You don't think it's naturally okay to put a couple of inches on my waist as I get older? No, I remember when I was young and I was beautiful and I was sexy and I was attractive. And you keep comparing yourself to yourself when you what you were 20 years ago. That's another ghost. You can be your own ghost. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, back with you here on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 o'clock on WBAI 99.5 FM. We're talking about the ghosts we live with. Are you haunted by your ghosts? Now, this is a question. Some people have ghost lovers. Right? And a ghost lover is the lover from the past. The one that you can't forget. The one who just did something to you. And we're asking, hey, what creates a ghost lover? I've got the answer. And we're going to be addressing that later in the program today. But think about the ghosts in your past. Now, some people have many ghosts or one big ghost. You know, you hear a big ghost, you said, oh, that person, I can't stop thinking about him. You know, he keeps coming back. He was the sexiest, the wildest, the most beautiful of the day. He loved me like nobody else did. That kind of stuff goes on in your mind. And you keep, that ghost is always present. And it stops you. It stops you from making other commitments, having other relationships. Even if you're married, you feel like you're married, but you're holding out because you're really related to the old ghost. And you can't talk to your mate about it because they get jealous of the ghost. What makes the difference? Some people have many ghosts, but usually it's just one or two. Usually it's a single focus. There's one ghost, or maybe at the most two ghosts. Other people are ghosts for others. That means that you could be a ghost for someone else. People may be thinking about you. Some people may have seen you as their romantic, exquisite, fantastic, unbelievable relationship in their lives. And they think about you all the time. And you are the ghost. People see you as their ghost level lover. In many ways, you know, maybe you were. Maybe you were their savior. But what were you saving them from is the question. What was it that makes you the thing that they're going to remember over and over again? What makes you the ghost? This is Armand DeMille with you with the psychological mind. You know, we're here to try to understand the human mind, and there is nothing we can't understand. I mean, there's stuff I don't understand. There's stuff I understand now that I thought I understood before and didn't. Now what we're learning about brain chemistry and what we're learning about systems, I'm learning more and more. So learn along with me, my friends. Very few people talk about ghosts. Very few. But here on WBAI, on The Positive Mind, you're very likely to hear about it. What is a ghoster, or a ghost, saving the ghostie, which is the person who has a ghost, from? If you have a ghost, what is that ghost saving you from? Why is that ghost still present? Why do you keep the ghost present? Why do you sometimes, when you're getting dressed and you look in a mirror, do you remember them looking at you with those eyes that used to pierce you and just send tingles down your spine? Why do you remember them? Or why are some people ghosts and other people ghosties? Christina Aguilera. Christina. I was passing by and I saw an interview where she talked about her new 27-year-old husband. And she said she's so in love with him because he keeps me from my dark space. She said, I have a dark space inside of me, and he pulls me out. Now, this is an interesting concept here, because if someone has the power and the energy and the hands to keep you out of your despair, your depression, even if they're abusive or sadistic or narcissistic or self-involved, even if they're the worst kind of person in the world, but if they have the ability to pull you out of the pit, to keep you from sinking into your abyss and your depression, then you are very likely to become what we in psychiatry called cathected. Cathected means energetically attached to that person. You become so energetically attached to that person that they are your savior. The very thought of them is your savior. Even if you hate them, the very thought of them is your savior. It keeps you outside of yourself. If they had the power, the ability, the energy to pull you up, they are your savior. Think about what it's like to be depressed. And you're sunk and you're depressed and you're miserable and you're bored. And you're married. And then comes along Mr. or Mrs. Miss Charming, exciting, vibrant. And you have a relationship with them. And you feel alive. And then they go off. Or you get rid of them, or you find out they're no good for you, or they don't consider you seriously. Whatever it is, whatever reason you get for wanting to break up with them, you break up with them, but you can't forget them. You can't get them out of your mind. You look them up, you wonder where they are, you check their addresses in the telephone book, you look at them on the internet, you try to find out, you hope they have a blog. You know? Maybe they have a thing you could follow. You look at them, you keep pictures of them hidden somewhere. You don't let the other people in your lives know about it, but they are your ghost. Saviors tend to become a permanent ghost. A ghost you can't let go of. The very thought of them in a positive or negative way gives you a focused outside of yourself. So just think about it. You're sinking into a depression. And you're feeling bad, and you don't know what to do, and you're sliding, sinking, sliding, you know, that feeling. And halfway down, you say to yourself, oh, where is Tanya, Marco, people with vowels at the end of their names tend to be good ghosts. Where is that person? Where is that person? Where are they now? And just as you're sliding in, you could feel angry, you could feel irritated. You could say, well, I'm going to call them up and just say hi. I'm going to look them up. I'm going to send them an email. And you send one of these innocuous emails that say, just thinking about you and thinking what a brat you've been to me, and I wanted you to know, you know. But this contact keeps you out of your depression. Of course, you keep them around. When do you get rid of a ghost? You know, now I'm going to ask you to call in and tell me your ghost stories today at 212-209-2900 We'll start lining up your calls, and I'm sorry if I keep you on hold for a while. Of course, when you get on the air, be sure to turn down your radio completely off. And of course, you know, why do we keep ghosts around? But here's a question. Either you have a ghost until you find a new savior, a new person, or you get rid of that part of you, that depression, that despair that you fall into. You get rid of the abyss, which is possible. You get rid of your despair. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a Positive Mind. Now, here's a question. What if you are the ghost of a lover's past? Are you an active ghost or a passive ghost? Here's another good question. If you're a ghost, let's say somebody thinks about you all the time, and they keep coming after you, and they won't let you go, and you tell them, look, give it up, I'm gone, and they just keep after you. Are you an active ghost or a passive ghost? A passive ghost is one who is done with the relationship and wants nothing to do with the person from the past. An active ghost is one who feeds your ghostly presence by an occasional call, by an occasional something, by an occasional email. I'm going to forward you this email that I got from this other person. Because some people want to be ghosts. It makes you feel important. Do you pop into the occasional to remind the person of your existence? Just so you know you could stir them up, you know? That just your phone call or a message on their cell phone or, you know, I was just thinking about you and the way we used to be. That's all you got to do, right? Boom, reaction comes all over again. Why do some people tend to be ghosts for so many people? I remember a man who used to say that whenever he dated a woman, he was very charismatic. Whenever he dated a woman, they would eventually say to him, you know, you're my soulmate. Or I think you're my soulmate. Now that very, very word, the very concept of a soulmate, the very concept that, you know, people are supposed to be one being and they descend from the heavens and they come down and then they split into two beings and you're one being and you search for the other half of you your entire life. That's the concept of soulmate, looking for your other half. And that you're looking for your other half, and when you finally find them, you feel real, powerful, together, connected. And you say, you're my soulmate. So he told me he's never felt like he had a soulmate, but he was the soulmate to so many, many, many women. Many women saw him as their soulmate. So he's become a ghost in all of their lives. Maybe some guys or gals need to be ghosts. There are women, you know, who they call femme fatales. Women who will say, you know, they will just be tough to get to, tough to get to, tough to get to, and they'll just become this incredible being that you search for, and then you finally get them, and then they leave you, they abandon you. Usually somebody who is powerful, a strong woman. Usually a dominant woman. And then she leaves you and you're just there, you know, chomping at the bit. When can I see you again? When are you available? What's going on? I just thought I'd call. Maybe we want to be ghosts. Maybe there's something nice about being the ghost if you're a ghost. Maybe you feed your existence through being a ghost. Maybe you live on being ghosted by other people. So I hope this isn't confusing. I'm talking about people who have ghosts and people who are ghosts to other people. And when we get your calls, I'm sure the calls are going to be hot because you're going to be talking about this stuff because the relationship you're going to be talking about is one that was dynamic. I mean, just think about what a good deal it is to be a ghost. People regard you as the most important thing in their lives and you have no work to do anymore. You're just a legend. You know, you're somebody who they remember, a ghost in their lives. You're important without having to work at it anymore. You know, you're like the Lone Ranger. You ride into town, you do your job, you leave a silver bullet, and you're out of town. So remember, the thing that makes a person a ghost is that they are perceived as having power, energy, strength, and aliveness. Now, that could be in the form of sexuality. Very often, you'll find a man will be fixated on a woman who is highly sexual, and she is passionate, and she is terrific in bed, and she is great, and she loves him, and sexes him like nobody else ever did before. And then, you know, and he has lived a relatively boring life until that moment. And she just, you know, gives him everything he's ever wanted, no holds barred, just passions the hell out of him, and then drops him. And there he is, you know, I was in this abyss of deadness, and you came along and you made me feel alive. Sexuality is very often, although people will think of it as sex, it is the power, the energy, the strength, and the aliveness, the ability to liven you up, wake you up, that makes you so connected, so connected, so attached to this person. So sex is one way of doing it. Of course, it's not always sex. It could be romance, it could be lingering, it could be discussions, it could be walks on the beach, it could be anything you remember that made you feel alive. Now, very often, people who have ghosts have a tendency to be broken people. This is not a pejorative. Broken meaning that, you know, you don't feel happy. And so a broken person becomes available, and somehow a potential ghost, right, potential, somebody with GP, called ghost potential, goes along and they scout and they see these people in need. And they become attached to them and they become romantic and they just flood them and give them things and they're abundant and they take them on journeys and adventures And they're just, the person's overwhelmed by the power of this thing coming in their lives, because the broken person is faced with every night having to be on their own. And here it is, this person comes along and he says, let me spark your life. Here's a little of my spark. And he notices that, how important he is to you. Or she notices how important she is to us. So then the answer, then they go away. Why do we hold on to ghosts? Why do we hold on to them? Why do we keep them around? And that's the answer we're going to be getting to a little later today. Because let me ask you a question, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. If those of you who have ghosts, here's a question. If I could hypnotize you, or if someone could hypnotize you, and say one particular word, and that ghost would no longer be a ghost, but just some kind of a memory. You know, a memory, a fond memory, or an angry memory, but a vague memory. Nothing that would keep coming up all over again. Would you want to be hypnotized and get rid of your ghost? Most people say no. If you could take a pill, and they have this pill under development right now. There is a pill that they're using for people with post-traumatic stress disorder, people who have traumas, like death of somebody close or an accident or something like that, or you know, war. And these people are suffering, 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 and they don't know what to do. We're going to be taking your calls in a little bit, by the way. And so they can't get rid of the memory, and they just want to get the memory out of their mind. They have developed some way of mapping the brain and a medication that helps eliminate the short-term memory of a trauma. So think about it. In a little while, we'll have a pill that will help you get rid of your ghost. Would you take it? What if your ghost is your father? Your dead dad, who you keep around all the time, or your dead mom, who you keep around all the time. You want to get rid of them? Want to get rid of their potency in your life? Let's say you've got a father who you were madly loved, loved, loved your dad, and that you can never get close to any other man because dad's ghost is so present. And if you got rid of dad, if you finally buried him, you'd be able to have another relationship with somebody else. Would you take the pill? Most people say no. Most people say no. Because they would rather have the ghost, because having the ghost makes them feel alive. And so, that's it. That's the beginning of our exploration. You know, the secret of every ghost relationship is there's one word that's present in every one, which is yearn. Yes, you yearned for the person, or they yearned for you. and they still yearn for you. Yearn is the word, you know, this feeling that you get inside your gut where you just feel yourself pulling up to somebody else and you're saying, I gotta have that person again. I gotta be back there, especially when you feel yourself lost, really lost. So, I'm going to be taking your calls in a little bit, but right now I'm going to start you off by playing you just a little music. I'm playing this particular piece. I want to thank Tony, our engineer today, for helping me out with this. But I'm going to play you this little piece of music, then there's going to be a station identification, and then we'll be taking your calls at 212-209-2900. But I won't be picking up your calls just yet because I found something from a long time ago. It actually sounds like a ghost. It's by Joe Stafford. For those of you who could remember Joe Stafford, and it relates very closely. Here we go.
There's a ghost of you within my haunted heart. Ghost of you, my lost romance. Lips that laugh, eyes that heart won't let me be. Dreams repeat a sweet but lonely song to me. Dreams are dust, it's you who must belong to me. And through
Joe Stafford, my friends, J-O-S-T-A-F-F-O-R-D, Haunted Heart, and this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. It is just about 1:30, and we're just about to take your calls at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. We're talking about ghosts. We're talking about people who keep ghosts in their lives and what the ghosts are doing there. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, hello. How are you?
Oh, perfectly done, Tony. Hi there. What's your name?
My name is Nicole.
Hello, Nicole.
Hi. This discussion hit so close to home for me just simply because I have one ghost in my life. And it just so happens to be an ex-relationship that ended almost 5 years ago. I met this person when I was 19. I stayed with them for almost 7 years.
Wow.
And the breakup was so intense. I mean, You're talking order of protection, screaming and hollering. It was just dramatic.
And who got the order of protection? You or him?
I did. And the reason I did is not because I'm crazy. It was just because I was so confident that this person was supposed to be in my life. There was no doubt in my mind.
What gave you the impression that it wouldn't? What made you break up? Did you find them cheating on you or something?
No, actually, they broke up with me while I was 3,000 miles away. They waited until I left the country and then broke the news to me just by saying simply, I can't do this anymore, and then refused to speak to me.
Wow.
So at that point, I was devastated. I had dropped almost 27 pounds. I mean, and I didn't know what to do. And mind you, I was in a country where it was just the trying to get communication was hard as it was.
Now, wait a minute. You were in another country.
Yes.
And this person, is it a man or a woman?
It was a woman. I actually was in Cuba.
Yeah, you were in Cuba, and your lover says to you, your relationship for so many years since you were 19. Now, is this your first woman relationship, too?
No, this was not my first woman relationship, but this was my first sort of love. It was
first love relationship.
Yes.
And here's this person. Now, why were you in Cuba, and not why were you in Cuba, but why did you drop 27 pounds at that point, since you didn't know that your lover was breaking up with you?
Well, after that, I still had about a month and a half to go, maybe close to 2 months, and I, for some reason, physical symptoms started to take effect. And
so you lost the 27 pounds after they sent you the Dear Jane.
Yes, everything went downhill from there.
What a terrible thing to have happened. Your heart must have fallen out.
I don't know how to explain this, but my heart, when they talk about aching, it ached, like I was in pain, physical pain.
Achy, breaky heart is exactly,
exactly
what we're talking about.
And when I got back, I didn't know what to do, so I sort of fought my way. We went back and forth. It was like, okay, you be this, you be that, to the point where it was only going downhill from that point.
So why did you have to get an order of protection? It sounds like she would have to get the order of protection.
No, she got the order of protection against me.
She did. That's what I thought.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, because you were obsessed. You couldn't let it go.
I was obsessed.
She was life itself to you. You were 19 years old, and I'll bet when you met her, life didn't look too hot. It didn't look too great.
Honestly, when I first, I was going through a lot of things. I mean, at 19 years old, you're going through your sexuality. You're trying to understand who you are. And it was on a college campus where homophobia was really big, and this was, she was the light out of seriously darkness. And the funny thing was that she never had a relationship with a male or a female. She was just as naive. I was less naive than she was. But, you know, years later, I look back, she's still there. She's still there. And even though 5 years after the fact, we occasionally talk, and of course when she's not with anybody, she still reminisces. So she doesn't quite let me go as well.
Right, so she needs to be your ghost as well, yeah. Yeah.
And
in other words, she gets away.
I'm now 30, and it's like I've grown enough to be able to live with it. It's almost like she's a disease I'm learning to live with because she's there in my dreams. She's all over the place.
Okay, now let me ask you, Nicole, if I were to tell you today that I could ring a sound, I could put something across the airwaves that will erase her from your mind, that you won't have her as a ghost, you'll just have her as a vague memory in the background, and you'll no longer be tormented by memories of her, would you like me to get rid of her?
My heart says no, but in order to live my life, I would say absolutely. I lost 5 years. I didn't grow. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, what it requires is we knew that at age 19 you were in the abyss. You were in the bottom of things. She came along and she picked you up like nobody else ever did. You found a place of excitement, love, sexuality, acceptance, beauty, a thing that lasted for so many years, even though it was tumultuous through those times.
Yes.
It was something so powerful that, you know, what happened is you returned to the abyss after she was gone. So the only thing that keeps you out of that depression is the memory of her, even if it's an agitated memory.
Right,
so the
right.
thing that we have to get in order to get rid of this as a toxic memory, as a disease that you're living with, We got to get to the structure underneath. What was there when you were 19 years old and fix it there. There's a spot in you that could be fixed. See, and that's what a great psychotherapy can do, a dynamic psychotherapy could do. It could fix that place that was broken before you met her. Then you could keep her and keep the best parts of her as your memory. And you could also keep your irritation as a memory, but it won't obsess you and it won't stop you from going on.
May I ask you one question?
Sure.
Are there those who might say to you that this goes beyond sort of like a mortal thing? It's very spiritual. Or something.
Yes, most people
are very connected. And
that's what
say,
people do. I know. That's what I was talking about the soulmates, you know?
Yes.
You know, people like to see it that way because it, you know, isn't love beyond logic anyway?
Yes.
But I could tell you, I've seen thousands and thousands of people in this situation, and I've seen so many people finally wake up because they see themselves on a different level.
Right.
So it's kind of an addiction, you know?
Yes, I agree with you, I think, and it has all the symptoms of an addiction.
Yep, all the symptoms of an addiction. And, you know, they call her the enabler in addiction terminology. In Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, they say the person is the enabler. In other words, and you've got to, every time you call them up, she enables you to get back into this addiction. It's the enabler. And that's part of the problem. It's part
there's
of the
also,
problem. But,
there's also one little thing is that there's a part of me that wants me back from her.
Sure.
It's almost like I feel like she was an,
ripped your heart out and she owns you in some way.
Yeah, like she's an energy vampire. Like she took all the best qualities of me, kept it for herself to gain somewhat kind of power, and left me kind of lifeless.
Yeah.
And it's like
she
I'm
just
still
left
in
you
search.
Where you were at the beginning. She didn't do it, okay? In fact, she gave you energy. It's the opposite. She gave you an energy that you added to your life because you're still thinking about her nowadays. Yeah. And she just left you where you were when you began. Although I tell you, when you begin a relationship and you're in an abyss and then you find somebody and it's passionate and loving, when, you know, it's like if you're hungry and somebody gives you something to eat and then they take away that thing to eat, you actually become hungrier. But if you don't know what good food is, if you don't know what food is, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Thanks
Thank
for calling
you so
in.
Much.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm glad that you were here today.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. 212-209-2900 is our number. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about people who have ghosts in their lives, and usually the ghosts are foiled relationships. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Kathy.
Kathy?
Yes.
Hello, Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, my! One of my favorite people in the entire world.
Back from Paris.
Back from Paris. How was Paris for you,
Kathy? It was beautiful. All my ideas about it that were negative are out the window. It's a wonderful place, and the people are very kind, and they don't hate Americans.
Yeah, right. And they don't have American fries.
Well, exactly. Well, the people, you know.
Yeah, sure. So nice. Welcome back. That was quite an adventure for you. You just went off to Paris without knowing anything, right? You just jumped in.
Kind of. And then I saw my mom afterwards in Germany, so... It was quite an interesting trip.
And how do you do with ghosts?
Well, I love them. I have tons of them, and I've been trying to exorcise them one by one. And actually, the most persistent one I finally did get rid of in the past year. But that was actually the reason why I originally wrote to you. And this was a person who... Ironically, actually, also lives in Paris now. But this was someone that I had an illicit affair with. And this affair started the same week as my relationship. And it lasted a little bit longer than my relationship, which was about 3 years. Three and a half years.
So you had two relationships at the same time. One was, you say, illicit because the person was married?
No, because I was in another relationship.
So you're in another relationship, and then you meet this other person, and you have a relationship with them at the same time.
Right.
Okay, and you are not, this is both having relationships was relatively new for you, right?
Yes.
You're not very skilled at being in relationships at the time.
That is correct.
Right, so you got two relationships going at once, and the second one, the one you call the illicit relationship, had a lot of power, and you keep them present as a ghost.
That is correct. Well, I got rid of them, but it took a lot because I felt like, you know, everything you said is so true. Like I feel like it was like the colorful flowers in this gray cave, you know.
The colorful flowers in the gray cave. How well described.
Yeah.
And you work on a lot of your ghosts. I mean, Aikati, you are one of the bravest people I know, and I am so proud of you on so many levels. I see you taking challenges on and going further and further and further, developing yourself, your art, what you give to people. You're really fabulous. So I'm glad you're doing your work and glad for your freedom.
Thank you, Armand.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, no problem. Bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. She is a very special person, this Kati. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Another call. Hi there.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Hi, this is Eduardo.
Hello, Eduardo.
How are you doing?
Good.
I love the topic today. I think it's
you have that
really...
radio. You still have your radio on, Eduardo?
I don't. I'm outside.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Okay. Just wanted to say that... Oh.
Thanks.
No problem. Just saved a little kid in a shopping cart. No, I just wanted to say you mentioned before about post-traumatic stress and the ghosts that happen. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's a lot of research happening with a substance called MDMA. It's popularly
yes.
known as ecstasy.
Ecstasy,
on,
sure.
On soldiers that returned from Iraq in 91 and then now who suffered post-traumatic stress. And it actually has wonderful, wonderful... results, and you know, in this country, it's a casualty of the drug war where people can't actually do research in terms of therapy on these substances.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Going back to the early 70s, Sasha Shulgin, S-H-U-L-G-I-N,
yes,
was an old buddy of mine, and he invented it.
Right.
And for a little while, we had a group of people who were experimenting with it. And what we were learning, this is before it became illegal, is that it had the power to remove the affect from any toxic situation for the moment. And
right.
if properly processed, it became a fabulous curative tool. But of
right.
course, as you said, it became part of the drug scene, and like ketamine, it became part of the drug scene, and it became part of the, it became, you know, when I say abused, it was. I mean, I know people who had suffered terribly
Absolutely.
From ecstasy abuse and other drug abuse. And then, of course, it became illegal, and it's now the work that's being done with it is legal work, but it's nowhere near what could be done. I think you're right, you know. I think it was a, somehow, we lucked into something positive, and we've yet to learn from it.
Right, and I think it's very easy to paint it as this sort of, like you were describing, the magic pill to make some, you know, somebody forget something, and that it's not really anything that does anything in and of itself. It really allows you a different view into your relationship with your ghost, and I've seen numerous friends of mine who've had, let's say, recreational experiences turn into very deep reflections of their lives and their you know, sometimes their relationships, but basically just it's like a little window, and sometimes they catch a glimpse of something that just changes their lives for the better. And now I'm not saying that that's an advocation of you know, recreational use, but these, you know, I think a lot of people don't know about these things,
sure.
and there's a lot of propaganda against any sort of consciousness alteration that can actually make some of this happen better. And I think the psychologists like Dr. Shulgin and different people that work on this is, you know, their work needs to reach more people, just because a lot of people feel like they're cornered and don't know what to do. And, you know, they feel like there's no options besides some sort of lobotomy and a pill. but really many of these things can make you actively engage your life and have a new consciousness of your ghost, and instead of trying to get rid of it or exercise it, you somehow understand it, understand your relationship to it, and sort of exercise it by becoming one with it and realizing the role it has in your life, in your consciousness, not as this sort of demon that you have to run from.
Great. Eduardo, I thank you very much. You know, Tim Leary once said, and I remember I was in a room when he said it, he said, never marry anybody you meet on ecstasy. he said he was going to make that up as a license plate, as a license banner, you know?
Yeah,
because, you know,
great.
You have such a tendency to feel so at one with the universe that there is the danger of going on the other side. Eduardo, thank you very much for calling in. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. I've seen people get, you know, through any number of things, by any number of introspection. But you see, here's the gimmick about ghostery. It's all extroception. It's all being focused outside of yourself. So if you could focus on the inside, whether it be with ecstasy or anything else, or alcohol, I've seen people do it with one drink. I've seen people do it with tobacco. I've seen people do it. The American Indians used to smoke tobacco tops, the very top of the tobacco plant, and it was in itself hallucinogenic. Any number of things, or you could just do it by meditation, or you do it through any of a number of meditative exercises. Wherever you could do that, you could focus deep on yourself and challenge the inner vectors. Go into that place. Go in there where you're afraid. That's where the ghosts reside. The ghosts are the gates. They're keeping you from facing the inner self. And so you keep the ghost on the outside, and it's so delightful because as long as you could focus on them, you don't have to focus on your insides. Anything that helps you get there, I'm all for it. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. You're on the air.
Greetings.
Greetings.
How are you?
Good. What is your name?
Madeline.
Madeline. Hi there. We've spoken before.
No, this is my first time calling.
First time calling.
Though I listen to your show often.
Well, there was another Madeline I remember calling in. Madeline, what about you? Do you have a ghost?
I think I'm the ghost of someone else.
Do they think about you all the time?
Yes, they told me that, and I really don't care too much for the person.
So you have like a disdain for the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, in a way, that actively feeds the ghostinality. You know, it feeds the ghostness, because if you have disdain for them, then they really keep active, more active in their minds, because they're always striving for you. So who was this person?
It's a friend of mine that when I was living in Connecticut a long time ago, and he stopped by one time at my mother's house, and then for some odd reason I gave him a call.
And you gave him a call, and the two of you got together. Now, let me ask you something, Madeline. If you could think of all the things you gave him, I want you to think of passion, energy, love. What did you give him that made him feel alive?
I think when I was in Connecticut a long time ago, it was probably passion. But over the years, I don't think I have been giving him that, because I don't feel that.
Okay, but when you did give him the passion...
Mm-hmm.
Did he go from being a guy who was semi-depressed to becoming a guy who felt alive?
I haven't noticed it back then, but I noticed it kind of now. He'll talk about the stresses that he's going through, and then he tells me when he's with me that he feels alive. He forgets about, you know, whatever stress is bothering him.
And so when he's with you, which means that you're with him frequently, how often do you see him?
It was maybe a couple of times a week, because this happened recently, about in May, since May. But it was like I haven't seen him for like 2 years, 5 years at a time.
So, Madeline, you sound a little depressed to me. It sounds to me like you're feeling depressed. Are you a little depressed yourself?
I'm trying not to feel depressed, but I do have some challenges I'm going through, and usually financial challenges, and which I had look at myself as, when did this person came back into my life? And he came back into a time where I was having money challenges.
So there you are having challenges that make you feel depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And the depression that you have calls him back into your life because it keeps you. You know, you're now focused on him, even though you don't like him. You keep the energy alive by talking to him. And so there's an energy that keeps you from facing the very pit and abyss that, you know, is just waiting there to gobble you up. And so you keep him around for that reason. And so you're useful for each other. He's keeping you around so he's not facing his depression. You're keeping him around so you don't feel like you're falling into the depression. If only everybody could acknowledge that this is the truth, you know, that this is what it's about, and then you don't have to fight about love or real love or what it's really about. You just say, you know, you're good. I don't have to get depressed if you're around. And he says, oh, you're good because as long as I think about you, I'm not depressed. It would be a nice relationship. It would be like friends.
That's what I want. And I know when he came back, I was very, very angry, and I took out my anger out on him, which I had done a couple of years ago, too.
But that certainly doesn't send him away. He seems like the kind of man that when he receives the energy of your anger, he kind of likes it. You know, even though he says he doesn't like it, he keeps coming back for more.
Okay.
Anger becomes a very powerful source of energy for many people who feel like they create a ghost in their lives.
Okay, so how do I get rid of it?
Well, you know, Madeline, I think just kind of recognize the fact that you're keeping him around now, and you don't want to get rid of him until you can get your head above water. You know,
I think that's what I had came to the conclusion before I called.
Yeah.
Once he gets going,
you won't need it as much, and once he gets going, he won't need you as much. You know? And then you'll find something interesting happen when he suddenly says, okay, I'm done with you. Then you're going to feel yourself feeling.
I'll be happy when he says he's done.
Yeah, I know you say that now. You'd be surprised when that vacuum is there and you're no longer anybody's ghost. You wonder where your spirit went. Madeline, thank you for calling in.
All right, thank you.
212-209-2900. Such brave people. I like them all here on WBAI because here on The Positive Mind, we get a chance to work with people. To examine people, to help people look into their hearts. And you know, they're never defensive. It's really wonderful. Let's take another call. Armand DeMille here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
First time caller, long time listener.
Hey, I like that definition. I must be a ghost in your life. You must hear my voice all over the place.
Definitely. You're distributing a lot of good medicine today. I'm thankful and I'm grateful for it.
What's your name?
My name is Nay, and I just wanted to add on to what you were saying. You had a show previously about how relationships come into your life and how relationships come into your life and they're showing you your positive side, your negative, and you're constantly going through the growing pains of understanding yourself by having these relationships. And for me, I've taken on the challenge of just accepting everything that has come into my life. All of my ghosts in my life are presently to this moment and in the past. Not that I've held on to them, but I realize that the ghosts that I have now currently that I'm dealing with, or ghosts is, I've chosen to keep. But I've chosen to keep those ghosts because my choice was more on a positive note. I kept the people in my life for positive reasons. And the so-called negative part of me or negative ghost in my life, I've accepted, I've forgiven myself, I've forgiven them, and I just kept rolling with the punches. I just kept rolling with it.
May, it sounds like you really loved your dad, did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. Yeah, you too.
And the people that the ghosts that are around me or I relate to, sometimes the energy is so strong, you with your own intention, you can reconnect with those people if you choose to. And I've wound up doing that several times in several different relations where people will pop up and call me, but I knew that I had sent it out.
I got you, mate. I want to thank you very much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Sure, it's my pleasure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hey, you know, that's really remarkable. I want to thank you all, May, Madeline, Madeline, Eduardo, Nicole, all the others. We will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., and if you want to get a copy of today's program, it's easy enough. You could go to thepositivemind.com, press on the radio show, and the archive will be right up there, thanks to Tom Gerby. And my special thanks to Tony, who is engineering today in place of Michael G. Flawless, flawless stuff. I really thank you very much. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. If you want to send me some stories about your own ghosts, you can send them to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at brainlink.com. You're listening to Miles Davis, Freddie the Freeloader.